go. We just went live.
Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts, podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the GloucesterCast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro.
We're live. Welcome. We got a huge cast today. It's GloucesterCast 447. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us. So we're still legit. 9 of us.
It's still legit.
No, because you did like a restaurant thing.
Yeah.
You have 10 at the table. So,
yeah.
So we're good.
We'll just call this a protest.
This is a protest, but a peaceful protest. No fires.
No looting. We're all in love.
Don't burn your bra.
No bra burning.
So we're gonna go over some of the one of the things we have 3 very generous gifts this week for people that share. So you guys are also you could win the prize too if you do what we do. What happened, Pat? You didn't have a pen?
Chris borrowed it and I'm borrowing it back. So I can keep track of the way we do.
Wow, did you see my bald head just now? Look at that bald spot.
Yeah, I can see it right between now.
Between the two, I can see two from here.
You're sitting next to each other. It's,
yeah, I might as well just take it down.
Joey, do the show in reverse this week. You know, let's turn all the way around.
Oh God, that was horrible. All right, so 3 gifts. Chris, if you could do me a favor, that one right there. So Fathia gave us this gift right here, which is a YMCA gift ball, but inside is a $10 gift certificate for Dunkin' Donuts. That is, so if you share the podcast and write shared on the Facebook, on the post, on the blog, oh my goodness, on the Facebook live stream, Pat will take your name down and there'll be 3 prizes. That's number one. Number two, Donna Artizzoni generously donated super high quality. I don't know if you'll be able to see the level of fuzziness right here.
The level of fuzziness.
It is really awesome. These are her. This is her design. Chris, you're going to help me right here, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And beach towel. So this is a big.
They are very nice. We bought some as gifts, and they were much appreciated, and they're really, really nice. The quality is really good.
Very plush. Would you say plush?
Plush, very nice.
Very plush. Yeah. All right.
Nicole, that's the first time I've ever seen Joey and Chris share a beach towel.
Thank goodness it's the only time you've seen that.
Yeah.
And from Stop and Shop, we have some pickles.
Not pickles. No. Pauline Bresnahan with a dipshit. We got some dipshit right there. So. It's also from Big Cock Ranch. We made some up last week for football, little sour cream, you mix it up. Couldn't be easier. It's delicious stuff. So go, if you're watching, can you give us are the people watching right now?
Yeah.
Has anybody checked in?
Oh yes. We have Joey Foot is with us.
Hi Joey.
Mary, Chula is with us.
Shula.
Darn it. I'm sorry, Mary. Brenda Grimes Davis, Paula Ryan O'Brien, Michael Berlino, Andrew Weiner,
From Starlings. Starlings Drugstore.
It says GMG to GMG.
Good Morning Gloucester to Good Morning Gloucester.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing so far.
So if,
Arlie Pat, good morning, Arlie.
Another regular. So if you share it and you write shared, you're entered. You have a pretty good chance.
I already have four on here.
Four shares? Mm-hmm. Did any of you guys share it so far?
I've shared. I didn't know I was supposed to write shared, though, but I did share.
Well, you have to write shared to count.
Oh, you know, do it again.
I'm tired.
I can't, the McCarthy's, you got to stop.
J.T. Ho from Fort Walton Beach is saying hello.
J.T. Ho?
That's what it says. That's Lois Ann Whitmarsh Hamilton. Hi, Lois. It's nice to see you again. Welcome back.
So we're going to do
it. Pauline Bresnahan.
Pauline Bresnahan with us. Thank you for the gift, Pauline. So we have Pat Dalpiaz is doing the keyboard today.
Yep.
And the comments. Paul Horowitz is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Scotty Mack back there.
Good morning.
Chris McCarthy.
Good morning, Gloucester. And Joe, happy birthday. I wasn't here last week.
I appreciate what you got.
Happy birthday.
The pickles. I'm going to have the pickles later pickles. On.
I got a pickles and syrup. Good combo.
He's expecting. So.
We have Anne Malloy directly behind me. Am I right? Anne Malloy right back there. You can see her. Wait, is that?
That's a little bit hidden by you.
All right, you got to move.
She doesn't mind moving to her right. Just that's perfect.
Yeah, you're perfect right there. Sal Zarelli to my is Sal in the shot?
Yes, he is.
Okay, Sal's in the shot. Nicole is off camera.
Morning.
Hi, Nicole.
Story of her life.
I know, right?
What are you,
always a bridesmaid, hey. Bread. But we do have our matching, right?
There it is. Well, yeah, that was your idea. So we got that. And Jimmy Dalpiaz is over
Jimmy
there.
D!
Good morning, Gloucester.
Jimmy's on lookout. So we got that going. Chris is fresh from Cabo San Lucas.
Yes, si, senor.
And you got a nice tan?
Yeah, thank you. Some of that's high blood pressure, but.
So what I'm eager to hear about is what travel was like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering about that.
Because, I have a trip booked to Mexico in a couple
you
months.
You do?
Yeah, so nice. some other people in this room might be going on that trip.
Nice.
What was it like? Is it a nightmare? Would you recommend it? Would you say don't do it if you're a nervous person?
Yeah. No, I thought it was uneventful. It was the first time that I had traveled since March. So, it felt different when you don't travel for that. I mean, when you're traveling all the time and then you finally get back onto a plane, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm on a plane. But the when we checked our bags, that was probably the busiest area. There wasn't really a whole lot of social distancing going on there. But once we got through security, every other seat in the terminal is blocked off, so they don't want people sitting together. When we got on the plane, they handed us a little bag with the biscotti cookies, a little bottled water, and a hand wipe. And then that was it for the service. They didn't have the cart going up and down in the plane.
Hey, just back up a second. When you went through security,
yeah.
Did they have, like, okay, you can go, or you had to wait back?
Sometimes security,
you know how people just quickly, he just want to get on the belt.
No, it's the same process. That was no different. And then you had to wear your masks on the plane, which was odd. I'm having a tough time now just wearing it and trying to breathe and talk. So you can take it off, obviously, to drink and eat your biscotti cookies, but then you had to put it back on.
What if you bring a box of biscotti cookies with you? You're taking your mask off.
I think so. If you're a frequent eater, then you're fine. I would suggest that you
biscottis.
A bag full of snacks, and you can't be yelled at because you're eating. But customs was interesting. How busy customs generally gets.
Yeah.
That there was no social distancing for customs. But again, everyone had their masks on. When we did show up at the hotel, our luggage was disinfected. They had disinfecting machines. So for those of you who enjoy traveling, I would say travel.
Yeah.
What was when you were at the Hard Rock, when you were at the resort, what was the policy for?
So the policy was when you're indoors, wear masks. And I'd say 80% of the people obeyed that. I think the amount of alcohol they had probably had a direct correlation between whether they were wearing their mask inside or not. I fit in that category at least one day.
So hanging out by the pool, sitting at the pool bar. Mask on.
Well, pool bars were closed, unfortunately, so you could not sit at the famous pool bars. So they had people bringing you drinks into the pool. Some of these waiters literally walked into the pool to bring you your drinks, which was pretty cool. But while sitting at the pool, you know, no one was wearing masks. Some people were, but people were in the pool playing pool volleyball. There was no social distancing there. Actually, I saw a couple people actually with their masks in the water. I don't know if they have waterproof masks yet. But restaurants, same thing as here. You wear your mask into the restaurants, and then when you sit down, you take them off. A lot of places had mats, disinfecting mats that you walk onto before you walk into the restaurant. Wow. So you disinfect the bottom of your shoes. You were required to put stuff on your hands. Every time you entered a restaurant, they squirt some stuff on your hands.
So did COVID know what time it was, like 9:30?
It did, yeah. Yeah, everything shut down at 9:30, and then this big black cloud came all over. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, very
So when you're coming back, do you have to get tested when you come back, or is it not required or suggested? How does that?
Yeah, so my wife did register us. I guess you have a vote.
I do?
Yep.
My wife did register us on the Massachusetts website. So, you know, Big Brother could track us. And I'm still getting texts about the requirement to be quarantined for 14 days. But I will say that I got tested. I do have a negative test. So they say you don't have to be in quarantine.
Is that required that you sign up when you travel for that? Do you have to sign up?
You know, someone else asked me that yesterday, and I don't know. I think that was voluntary on my wife's part. So I did go to CVS. CVS, you can get tested.
I wondered about that. Yeah. I heard that they were having a drive. Is it drive-through?
It's a drive-through.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard.
And you do it yourself, which I didn't realize until, like, I got to the window. And I had been tested two previous times, so that helped because I knew how far to stick this thing into my nose.
I've had to test myself too. It does not hurt, but it's very uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, yeah. I mean, it's
How do they know at CVS when you drive through that you've got a sufficient sample on your swab?
They actually watch you through the window and
they
coach you.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, because I had it done two times prior, I knew where the thing needed to be.
I can imagine the CVS cheerleader, back there on the window. That's it.
No,
stick it up there good.
Yeah, it's an interesting process. You know, they give you the bag.
Little mark on the swab. You can see the pink line. You know.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
they should. I don't think they do.
No, but there is a marking that I sort of put my finger at, and I made sure it was up there.
It was just the,
well, you don't want to go again, you know.
No. Just because of the rapid test.
No, it took 2 days. Yeah, they say it could take from a day to 3 days. Charlene had the same one done. Mm-hmm.
See, Chris, all that time with your finger up your nose as a kid finally paid off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All those years you've been training.
Yeah, and the finger is bigger than the swab, so.
But you felt safe enough and. Comfortable
and the Mexican people, it looked like, you know, they were following all the rules too, because we did go down to downtown Cabo a number of times, and you know, we definitely felt like, you know, people were doing all the things.
And did I see the airplane was pretty full?
Yeah, the both planes. Well, we were on four planes because we had a connection there and back. And all four planes were full, absolutely full. So, but airlines have changed their routes around a lot. So they're not flying as many routes as pre-COVID.
Right.
So I expected the planes to be crowded because there's fewer flights.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah.
I have to admit, you know, the other day, I mean, it's been gorgeous the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you look up and you do see a plane and
it's strange.
You don't see so many of those.
Yeah. Again, going to the airport was definitely strange. But again,
Mike Kudera is asking, what's your favorite spot in downtown Cabo?
Oh, well, my favorite spot is a place called The Office. So,
this big, is it that one? Oh, no, it's the I was thinking of the elbow room. It's a little tiny one.
Oh, really?
There's one that's like this big, so they can probably only let like two people in now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't go to the elbow room.
The elbow room down in Lauderdale, but it's tiny. Speaking of stickers,
we did go to Squid Row, which I think is one of the oldest bars or the oldest bar in Cabo. And I did have a Good Morning Gloucester sticker with me. And they have a phone booth in there. I don't think it's working, but there were stickers all over the phone booth, and I put a GMG sticker on it. So anybody going to Cabo, you got to go to Squid Row, really fun bar, and you'll be able to see Good Morning Gloucester sticker on there.
Why don't you tell everybody about the stickers, how you can get one.
How you can get one?
Yes.
Jimmy? You need to do it.
Oh, no.
That's your part.
I'll just be off. No, no.
We don't have any envelopes to open this week.
Not
no envelopes.
This week.
But send,
if you send
a pre-addressed envelope.
Myself. Right.
Because Joe won't pay for a stamp.
No.
He won't pay for an envelope.
No.
But if you do want one of these, what's the address, Jimmy?
It's 95 East Main Street. You know, put GMG on the envelope, or you can put Joey's name, or I want a sticker. It doesn't matter. Just put it right on the
envelope. Is that posted right on the website, Jim?
I don't know.
I think it is. Yes, I'm all. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, Joe's the only one who's part of this podcast, so
yeah, that's
have
true.
To put Joe's name.
I think that Caitlin respond. I think Caitlin's response to the question about her favorite place in Cabo was Sir.
Oh, Sir. Yeah, that's a restaurant and a beach club. We actually, it's two bars down from the office, and that's highly recommended. That was really nice. If you're looking to have some good food and also sit on the beach, they have beach chairs you can hang out on. But that's right on the Sea of Cortez, so the scenery is absolutely beautiful. Weather was outstanding. I think I saw one cloud in the sky in the 7 days that I was there. But the office is a must visit. I told my boss during my one-on-one with her earlier in the week that on vacation I spent 2 days in the office. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I was at the office. So I didn't have to take those as vacation days. So if you go there.
Oh, it might, yeah.
No vacation.
And most important, it was your anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
30 years.
Yeah, that's where my hair went.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. No, it was a great way to celebrate. And glad we're back. Weather is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, you brought good stuff with you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Any questions from people?
Well, we did go over some questions about Cabo. What was his favorite place? And
no, you asked him already?
Yeah, we did. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I just want to make sure you're on.
So people are asking why our names aren't on the
introduction.
One unanswered question that's apparently on people's minds is, did you do any yoga while you were there?
I didn't do any yoga, but I think I posted a picture or two of me in the gym. I did work out.
Okay.
But so Bo wouldn't be upset?
So my coaches would not be upset. I have a number of coaches out there.
Number of coaches?
Well, Marcy Flynn, my spinning instructor, and Bo, my personal trainer. And
do you have a masseuse?
No, I'm hoping to get one of those. If there are any masseuses.
Yes, but,
and you don't have anything to say about your hotel?
Oh, Hard Rock is the place that you have to stay.
Los Cabos.
Hard Rock, Los Cabos. They have a sister hotel right next to it called Nobu. So if you're the type that wants a quiet vacation, Nobu is probably your place, a little bit more subdued and romantic. But Hard Rock is the place to go if you like action, excitement, great entertainment. But food was outstanding. service was over the top. And you know, travel agents need you now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, don't forget about the travel agents, because they're suffering. And if you are looking to book a trip, Hard Rock should be top on your list. Call your local travel agent. And if you're looking for names,
hey, do you know what?
Kate can get you some names of good people.
Yeah. That'll be my wife.
Oh yeah, Kate.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sweet baby.
Chris, is Los Cabos in Cabo San Lucas, or is it like a little bit out of Cabo San Lucas?
The hotel?
Yeah.
So the hotel is probably about 15 minutes from downtown. So Shal and I actually rented a car. And I would definitely recommend that if you're not staying downtown, you rent a car. It was very easy to get around. Didn't feel unsafe. Very easy. One road from the airport to the hotel. It's about 45 minutes from the airport. One toll. I paid cash, U.S. dollars, and they actually gave me U.S. dollars back, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bonus.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely at Hard Rock. Cabo is the place to visit.
So, Pat, my friend Noah Goldstein last week posted about this deal that they had. So Neil and Ryan Cox, Bradley Atkinson, own Fox Creek Tavern, the lobster pool, the farm in Essex, and Fuego in Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
And he had posted something that if you go to one of their restaurants in Massachusetts, not the New Hampshire restaurants, and you whatever the bill is, they'll give you 50% of what the bill was on an Amazon gift card.
Hmm. Well, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, on you get Mondays, the 50%. Reward, and it's not just Amazon. There are many of merchants. We tried it. We thought, oh, this sounds good. This sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. So, well, you guys love Fox Creek Tavern.
We love Fox Creek Tavern, but we hadn't been to the Farm Bar and Grill in a while, and that's another one of the restaurants that's included. So we went there for lunch,
including alcohol, which is
that's huge.
Yeah, Jesus.
And
Is there a maximum?
I know, Pat. You're gonna bankrupt that place.
The
fat kid at the buffet. Yeah. The Chinese guy comes out. He says, "No more for you. No more for you. You leave now. You leave now."
Good morning, Donnie. You joined us at a good time.
Hey, I was that kid.
Wow.
Everybody's getting used, at least our experience so far has been that everybody's getting used to the app. They helped us. We helped them figure little pieces. You have to check in using the app in order for, and then take a picture of your receipt, which has to be in a certain time period after you check in, and then it gets applied. And it worked.
Do you have a physical receipt, or is it an online receipt? Reward card.
It's all online. It's all the app. I put the link in the notes.
So you have credits in your Amazon account from this?
Well, I have to apply them. Their credits right now are in my seeded account. That's the name of the app. And then I'm going to transfer them to Amazon when I rack up a few more.
So how many do you have now? Like, what would prevent you from doing it right away?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just having missing the point.
I just have
busy with you busting your balls. Do you
yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, some people are like savers, and
maybe
some people are, you know.
That's probably preoccupied with all of her hummingbirds.
Yeah, that's probably it right there.
The bald eagles right now. We moved on to
the bald eagles. We moved on to
the bald eagles.
That is true.
Let's, you know.
Another one in the backyard last night, right at sunset. Oh my God.
They drove all the way to Methuen because they got a report of a bald eagle in Methuen.
We did.
They get home and there's one sitting in the back.
Yep. Yep.
Is there an app for that where you can actually track these, where they pop up?
Actually, you can. And along those lines, as an aside note, snowy owls are back in Massachusetts.
Really? Wow.
According to my daily alerts.
They're not going to close any beaches, are they?
I don't.
So we're going to have to. So do we have to do a disclaimer on the snowy owls now? Yeah.
But I would encourage you to try the seated app and support the local restaurants. For the month of November, the 50% reward is in place. I think it's typically.
Is that part of the No Knock November movement?
Yeah, it's right in the same.
The same thing, November.
Artie Churchill's wondering what does this have to do with the fish industry. So,
what did you say?
Artie Churchill has commented, what does this have to do with the fish industry?
What does that mean?
I don't exactly know, but maybe
he's tuned out for the last several years. Maybe when
we'll see.
Maybe Good Morning Gloucester.
Anyway.
Maybe you've been absent from class for a while.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that happens in Gloucester, apparently, for some people, if it's not fishing, you should fucking, you gotta move the fuck out.
So I put a link to the app in the notes if anybody's interested. It's like a no-brainer. It's one of those no-brainer kinds of things. So.
Yeah, no, we love no-brainer.
Right.
When everybody wins. And that's definitely a no-brainer.
And our two favorites are the Farm Bar and Grill and the Fox Creek Tavern. Those are both favorites of ours.
I thought you had in the notes that you loved Oliver's Harbor too. You're off the Oliver's Harbor.
We have a whole cycle of favorite places. Minglewood, the Serenity restaurants are on there for sure.
Yeah.
There's a whole cycle of them. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
But I do it for the sake of the blog.
Well, I appreciate that.
The research.
Well, you're using your stipend.
Yeah.
50% rewards for the blog too.
Right, yes.
Speaking of the restaurant, Taj, you gotta give us you went to Taj.
Very good.
I did.
You go, you've gone to it. Anybody else here go to Taj?
You feel this one.
No.
I just went once.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And it was very nice what they've done with the place.
Yeah.
And I like curry anyway. Mm. I've been to the islands and I like the curry dishes down there. It's very comparable to that. I got like a white jasmine rice and I ended up getting the, I think it was a pineapple chicken curry dish.
Mm.
Which was not small.
Yeah, it was a good portion. Yeah.
And then again, like with the rice, and then they had this. I forget what they call it. You might remember, but it's like a flatbread.
Naan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had like a garlic option.
Yeah.
Or a garlic butter option and another option that they had too as well. So
I haven't been yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Bartender was really good. Really.
So did you eat there? Because
yeah.
I see like they kind of. Promoting, like they're almost like pushing you that like, they'd rather you like take it to go. Did you order it online or did you order it?
No, I actually walked in.
I walked in and sat down.
Yes.
And how many of the what time did you go there and how many of the tables were taken?
I went rather late for me in the evening for dinner. It was probably like around 8-ish, 8:30.
No, anybody could have sat down? Were there other seats available?
It was available for people that would like to sit down at that hour.
That's what I'd like to know. Okay.
I was there 6:30. It was someone sitting at a table. And then when we left, there were two other tables occupied. So there was decent flow at the tables, but very active with takeouts, like you said. So they don't have many tables. So I think maybe that's why they're promoting the takeout, but to Scotty's point, if you like Indian food, it's well worth visiting Taj and trying things out.
That's actually located at the formerly people might remember it as Alchemy.
Happy Belly Alchemy. There's been like seven restaurants.
It's been a few different things, and they keep changing the theme to kind of add a new flair to the spot all the time. And this one is the Indian. So
yeah.
You had a question, Joe?
My daughter Mia, she had the pumpkin soup. They had pumpkin soup there that was outstanding. I mean, as Scotty mentioned, the portions are huge. So she didn't finish it all. I got to try it. And if you go pumpkin soup, especially this time
good.
Of the year,
yeah,
it's very
good.
Big fan. I have not.
Good morning, Pat.
Give us a rundown. Some new names.
Your mom.
Hi, mom.
Chris
Hi, mom.
Thompson.
She didn't get that.
Mike Coderre.
Got that right.
Donna Artizzoni. Hi, Donna.
Hi, we miss you.
Kate.
Hi, Kate.
My Kate.
Your Kate.
Hey, Kate.
I love
you, Kate.
Robert Annette Spanks.
I love that name. Everyone says it.
Make me smile. And I've reminded everybody to hit the share button. Brenda Grimes Davis comments delicious pumpkin soup at Taj.
Yeah, Brenda Grimes Davis is gone there. I'm glad that she's into that. Let me see here.
You want me to hold it over here, Joey?
Yeah, I know. I'm so blind. So Jimmy, why don't you give us a little rundown? So Wednesday, the Veterans Day Assembly, you had a part in this?
Yeah, they can't do the traditional Veterans Day Assembly where people can come and see it. It's with the COVID rules and everything, it's not happening. So Ann Kukuru and Pete Ciaparini, they got together with the Veterans Organization and they created, they filmed a tribute, the annual tribute in City Hall. And which they had the mayor, she came on and she had a great opening speech. And then we had guest speakers was the police chief, Ed Conley. He was a
friend of the podcast.
It was wonderful. He talked about his experience and we had the politicians there. They were Bruce Starr came in. And I won't do a spoiler alert, but I've got to tell you that Alexandria Grace, her singing, she had a couple of moments where she did a number, where she took a familiar song people are familiar with, and she put in different words to honor the veterans.
Oh, wow. Did you have goosebumps?
Oh, absolutely, especially in the City Hall, how it just echoed.
Acoustics.
Went out.
She's amazing.
And,
you know it too.
I've heard her sing in a few of these announcements.
It was amazing. And then they asked me to play taps at the end, and that was...
That's going to be
that was
the pop.
That was, you know, it was really... touching because
that was a callback, right, Jim? You did that last year as well.
Well, actually, I didn't do it for Veterans Day. What happened was Memorial Day, they piecemealed one, 1623 Studios, I guess, piecemealed one. And they asked me if I would play with Joey's help. He filmed me down at the Man at the Wheel. So they piecemealed one together, but this time they said they were going to do one complete one. So we put it all together, and it was just a wonderful thing. And it's check your TV channels. I mean, they're going to
1623 Studios is going to stream it Wednesday, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So we'll when they send us a press release, we'll put it up there for them.
Yeah, I'm looking for a link, but I can't find it just yet. So
I don't think they're in the offices at 1623 Studios.
Right. Right. So we'll have to wait a bit.
We'll have to wait.
Look to the blog.
But it was a fitting tribute. Wonderful. Good speeches, good music.
Oh, your guests are popping in.
Good, because we're going to have them, a few minutes, we're going to have them in. Jimmy, also along those lines, Jimmy, you've been doing, I recognized you last week for your fantastic job co-hosting with Lisa Olson for the Gloucester High School field hockey team. And I just wanted to recognize the great work you guys are doing with Jim Capillo.
Oh, Jim and Lisa, I mean, they're a team. They're solid. I mean, Lisa just comes in and she sits down, gets right to work. She knows all the players. She tells wonderful stories about some of the players and their families. And it's just so much fun. And Jim is spot on with his camera work. And yeah, I'm just coming in I'm glad to be a part of their team and just talking about field hockey. You know, just letting them know some rules that people are asking. Why exactly is all that whistle blowing? Why? So having a little fun with that. We have another one. They are going to be home Monday. I believe we're taping it. I'm not exactly sure just yet, but Monday. And this is pretty much the last week. There is no playoffs for the Vol Sports.
I love how they handled the senior week. You guys did a nice tribute for the families. The way I love the way Gloucester Sports handles their last games and they bring the family on the field, they hand them some flowers or something, and then they take a photo with the parents.
Oh, yeah, it was COVID. I mean, it was that all the players got together, and they made a big tunnel, and they kept the seniors on one sideline, and they had the parents over in the area, very safe. The kids came running through the tunnel. I don't know how they didn't get tired running through that tunnel. It was so long. And they got all the way up there. Some of the younger students handed them flowers, and then they walked right over to mom. Then they took a photo, and then the parents quickly got off the field so the next person would come down. They timed it. It was all COVID safe. You would never think
really cool.
A senior moment would have to do that, but they did a great job.
This is what I noticed. I'm going to give a tip for the next time that they do it. I saw Brian LaFada had a camera, and then there was someone with another real camera.
Yes.
And they were both taking the photo at the same time. And when you do that, I noticed in the video, some of the parents were looking at this way, and some of the parents were looking this way.
Yeah. The camera
look
it's at
the story,
it.
Of my life. Yeah. Yeah. The story of my life is pretty much every event.
Every event. Everybody wants to take photos.
I usually have Sabathia's phone, my own phone, and then the camera, and
yeah.
then, you know.
Uh-huh. But there were 10 seniors for Gloucester and 9 for Saugus.
10 seniors? How many do they carry on a roster?
Well, the varsity, I think they had like 14, 15 players.
So,
wow.
So they're retiring
four,
10, yeah. Over 60% of the team?
A big percentage.
And it's a well-oiled machine. I'm sorry they can't go much further to prove that. But 10 seniors, congratulations. As I kept saying, it was the first of the seniors because a lot of them play 2 sports, if not 3. So I'm hoping that there'll be other senior moments, you know, during the year that they will play.
Jim, I gotta say, I hope you don't have any senior moments yourself.
Too late.
The leaves are coming down.
Thanks, guys.
The leaves are coming down, and my yard looks like a mess right now. But I have this thing. So I had someone that used to take care of the leaves, and I told the person, don't come to do the leaves until all the leaves are down off of the trees. And he didn't come. He came in halfway through, which meant, and then he charged me for fall cleanup, which was fall cleanup isn't cheap. I was very upset because then, like, you might as well not have done anything as far as I'm concerned. How do you guys I want to go around and ask everybody how they handle, because we started doing it ourselves now. How do you guys handle your leave situation? Do you do it midway? We're going to start with Paul. Do you do it when half of the leaves fall and then go back and finish it up? Or do you wait for all of them to be down and then have it done then?
Well, we leave the leaves on the beds.
To mulch.
They mulch.
Yeah.
And actually, back when I had 4 acres to mow, I would, the big bobcat, you know, 48-inch bobcat, walk behind, and I would just mulch up the leaves as I mowed and leave them there for the winter. Feeding the grass.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Kim Smith said that's the way to go. I like to have a nice clean yard. What about you, Chris? How do you handle it?
Well, actually, yesterday we did some raking and blowing of the leaves in my yard, only because my next door neighbor shamed us doing it in a nice way. I live across the street from Tony the barber, and he has the most meticulous lawn in all of Gloucester. He's out there once, sometimes twice a day,
measuring
the height of the grass. But he's got a leaf blower, but a leaf vacuum cleaner, and one leaf at a time, every leaf underneath the tree. Mm-hmm. And he's been very active the last week or so because the leaves are blowing from my yard into his yard, and I feel really bad about it. So that's why we did some raking yesterday. But there's more to fall.
So you rake and you blow and rake, or you just rake, or do you blow?
It was a tag team effort. Charlene we switched raking, and
Charlene did the blowing and did the raking. So how
for those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking about
who handled the blowing.
We're talking about landscaping. For those of you that just
exactly.
What's the rating of this podcast?
Yeah.
You should see the watch ratings.
Here, that's our almost 9:40 segue.
Yeah, we switch back and forth. We both blue.
Interesting. Scotty Mac, how would you say is the way, what's the best tool for the job? A rake or a blower?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. I'm fortunate enough to live in a condo where that service is provided for us, so I don't have to do that at home. However, at my girlfriend's house, she would give you a different answer than I would give. She likes to totally rake the yard because she likes the workout.
Yeah.
So for that, she gets enjoyment out of it. It's more a peace of mind. She's out there, and that's her own little world, and her backyard's a sanctity. So she likes to rake. However, when she wasn't home one day, I came over with the leaf blower and thought I was doing a great thing. I did get thanks for it, but I blew the whole yard out. And 2 days later, the leaves were all back again. So it's kind of kind of a double-edged sword. I don't think there's a real proper way to do it. It's personal preference. But most people like to wait till all the leaves have fallen and then do it. And then just to touch on your point about fall cleanup, and the fee, it's a lot of work. And I do that for work, and it's not easy. So a lot of people don't want to pay twice, and you can't keep up with the busy season in the fall. I mean, we bring extra guys on the crew just to get the cleanups done with the leaves because there are so many.
Mm-hmm. Does your company have the vacuum cleaner that brings all the...
Yes, it's an industrial size tube with a leaf suck machine, basically, that will put it up into the
the
bed of the truck.
The blower and the sucker.
Yes. Yeah. Couldn't resist, could you?
But there's Oprah, Brenda Davis is reminding us.
You also have to be careful on those machines that you don't suck up the branches and twigs. And dog toys that you might not see underneath the leaves and different stuff in the yard.
Franks and the beans.
Franks and beans, you know, chipmunks or squirrels. I don't know.
Piping plovers.
There has been no chipmunks or squirrels hurt.
So, yeah, I think it's better to leave them for the environment, for the insects and the ecology and all that, and for the mulching, and it protects your beds. So we try to leave most of them, but
you mulch them before you leave them, or do you just leave
them? Get them all in the spring.
There you go.
But for the grassy part, you know, there's definitely some raking and blowing going on there.
You're blowing.
Anything, Joe?
Sal?
Yeah, we're pure rake, and we keep up with it.
Straight rake.
Yeah.
So you go week by week.
I'm bringing Ann's info back home.
There you go.
Making the case for leaving it there.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Yeah, we don't have a big yard anymore, but when we did, it was more like keep up with it a little bit for curb appeal and for the neighbor's sake, and just so we look like the eyesore of the neighborhood. Just a lot of raking, sending the boys out more just to give them a job to do, and then doing the hardcore.
Did you pay the boys to do it, or is that part of the living expenses?
Part of the living expenses.
Yeah, that's good. That's solid. And Jimmy, you got the upper 40 and the lower 40?
Yes, I have the Ponderosa. I had the 2 acres. I didn't have four, Paul, but we had 2 acres. I would wait for that one last cut.
Yep.
And I would, my son always used to call it Dad's manicuring the lawn for everyone. Nice. I would make sure that it was all, I'd blow it out because I have woods all around me. So God put it there for a reason. I just gave it back. And I put it over there because my big thing was if I let it sit, when the snows came and the spring came, what a soggy, heavy,
right,
where the lawnmower couldn't do it. I had a rake, and I don't mind raking, but wet, soggy, sticking to the grass, it's a mess.
It's a lot.
So I just want to take care of it so when the snow finally goes, I actually see a lawn.
I remember the beginning of COVID, they shut down the place in Ravenswood where you could put the leaves. What was it we call that place? The compost.
Oh, in Dogtown.
Dogtown.
The composting. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it open now? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, it is open. Oh, that's good to know.
That's good. Yeah. In fact, it's open in November. It's open every Saturday. It's usually the one Saturday a month, but in November it's every Saturday.
Oh, there you go.
Breaking news. Earthquake. Earthquake.
We have
4.2.
Oh, wow. Where?
Outside of New Bedford.
New Bedford, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be a tsunami.
So yeah, I know. Shit.
Okay, you've got people waiting.
All right, hold on one
second.
Yep. I'm just going to go over the if people share, if you share the podcast right now, if you're on Facebook with us and share the podcast, you have a chance to win 3 prizes. Pauline Bresnahan donated the dip. This is the dip shit, which we tried last week. Was fantastic. Shafathia donated a Dunkin' Donuts. You see inside of there. Dunkin' Donuts, $10 gift card, and this YMCA water bottle.
Stop and Shop pickles.
And this awesome towel, very plush. Nicole, you get to fold this again, Nicole.
Egyptian.
From Donna Adesoni is selling these. So
Egyptian cotton.
Egyptian Pima cotton with the it's super fluffy, high thread count,
absorbent,
very absorbent. Yeah, there you go. So we got that. Now we're gonna bring our guest. This is the highlight of the podcast. I saved the best for the last. Awesome Gloucester, Persistent Productions, a lot of peas, popping peas. I trust I have a thing. And Cape Ann Museum on a short documentary on the creation of the Fish Workers Mural. Joining us will be Dana Wolf, Josh Falk, Mike Rogers, and we already have Sal Zarilli and Ann Malloy with us. You want to bring them on screen?
They're on. They're on.
Oh, fantastic.
There's another guy.
There they are. What?
There's a third person.
Yeah, we're seeing
it. Three. One, two, three.
We got them.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
We got them.
Yep.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. Very good.
Good. The audio's here, too. We got that going for us. Who wants to take it? Sal, do you want to take it? Because you were the one that contacted me.
Yeah, okay. Sure. So I'll introduce it, and then.
Why don't you sit in this chair, and I'll sit back.
Promoted.
There you go.
Promoted. Jeez. Moving up.
So this is, we're going to be talking about a mural and a film that was made about the mural. And just to introduce the people who are involved, we have Mike Rogers from Persistent Productions. We have Josh Falk and Dana Wolf from Studio Fresh. Ann and I are representing Austin Gloucester. So over the summer, Studio Fresh put a mural on Ocean Crest, Neptune's Harvest Building down the Fort. And while that project was taking place, Mike and his team made a documentary film about the mural and what it is intended to represent. That film is going to be released this Thursday, November 12th, 6:00 on the Awesome Foundation, Awesome Gloucester Facebook page. And then there's going to be a community discussion that takes place Thursday at 7:00 about the mural, the film, and the people that both are intended to represent. So that's it in a nutshell. I don't know if you guys, Ann, you want to add anything that I might have missed or talk a little bit about the roles that you played.
I would like to say if anybody listening has people in their family that work on fish or worked on fish back in the day, women especially, but anybody, would really like you to join in on Thursday night and be part of this discussion, because those are the stories we want to hear and those are the people we're honoring with the mural. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I'll jump in. And also echo the same thing, Ann. We hope that everyone can join us. The film will go live at 6 p.m. as Sal said. And the film's a 5-6 minute film. The reason we are putting it out an hour before kind of the question answer session is just let people kind of watch it on their own time. Write down your questions. Come on to the live question and answer session where we'll have all three of us, plus we'll have three of us, meaning Awesome Gloucester, Studio Fresh, Persistent Productions, and then we'll also have Cape Ann Museum. And yeah, the hope is, as Ann said, is we get to hear some more stories that we weren't able to capture for the film, but also hear a little bit about the motivations behind, the art that Studio Fresh did. And we'll be describing just a little bit about our process and why we were interested in the project as a whole. So we look forward to the event.
Who is Studio Fresh?
Right here.
Yeah. We might as well say something since we're on here. Yeah, myself and Josh here are Studio Fresh. We're a local mural company. We do a lot of hand-painted creative projects, from signage to murals, and some of them are more creative, like this one, that really have a lot of community roots and impact, and some of them are a little less creative and more execution-based. But yeah, we were really excited to be brought in on this project. It was awesome to work on something locally, as both of us live in Cape Ann. It was really awesome to put something down that we can see locally.
Yeah.
Do you have some work out there now? Mural locally.
We have, a lot of our corporate work or the work we do for Studio Fresh happens to be inside offices and buildings. I mean, there's probably some that I'm not thinking of. We did the exterior of the Privateer Rum building over in Ipswich. We've done... trying to think of local. Josh, I don't know if anything pops off the top of your head. A lot of our stuff is in Boston, quite honestly. But I know Josh did a local art project on his own that he can speak to. And I have two murals in Beverly that I did that are just personal projects. One on Rantoul near the end where the bridge is to Salem, and one on the side of the
What's the name of it now?
Barrel House, or
yeah, whatever Barrel House changed its name to that I'm spacing out on right now.
Social.
Yes, Ellis Square Social. That's right. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in and just say the caliber of these people that we have here. Go to their Studio Fresh website and look at what they've done and how lucky we are to have them do it here. And Mike, just to give you an idea of the caliber film producer he is, we were emailing back and forth. He's like, I'm a little busy right now. I'm finishing up with Yo-Yo Ma. And yeah, when I'm done with that, we're going to, you know, get together for this thing. And we're like, Yo-Yo Ma, really? This is the caliber we're lucky enough to have here in Gloucester helping with this. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
It was a fun project. I think you're right. The caliber of the team was pretty amazing. The work that you guys did, Studio Fresh, was awesome to see come together. And I hope that the film captures a little bit of what you guys had to go through to get that up on the wall. But I think our team found it really fun to see your process and, you know, take it all the way from you guys projecting up onto the wall, tracing what you traced, and then getting in there with some of the paint. But then on the other side, you know, awesome Gloucester. I think a lot of people probably already know it, but your organization is just amazing. And to be able to conceptualize this, but also to take the idea, Sal, as you said in the interview, and kind of keep at it and stay with it for as long as you did, and bring it to fruition is a testament to your organization, to you know, how connected you are to the community. So for us, you know, we're kind of a new company. We've been around for 10 years, but here in Boston, anyway. And it was really fun to connect with everybody. And as Josh and Dana said, you know, do something that had a local flair to it, and will live on for a long, long time.
Yeah. Just to add, I mean, obviously there's tremendous talent. I mean, the film is great. The mural is great. There's also a tremendous amount of generosity that was poured into this project. Like Cape Ann Museum, gifted photographs that we used for the film and the mural. We had someone in the community offer a matching grant to help cover the costs of the mural. Kyle White donated the scaffolding that the artist used to make the art possible, given the height of the wall. And there's, I'm sure I'm forgetting people, but there was a tremendous amount of support from lots of different people in the community to get the mural done and to get the film done. So it really was a community project from conception to completion. Very inspiring.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have happened if you were... Sal, it was all you're doing, though. You know, the way you on the ground, a lot of the clients we deal with don't offer the support that, you know, we got from you and Ann. So we appreciate, you know, the fluidity and how smooth it went, you know, throughout the process. So it's good.
I have a question. Because I had to take care of a boat. Did you talk about the premise of it? What is going to be seen on what?
No.
Maybe we should talk about that. People excited about it.
Yeah.
I'll jump in, Sal. I'm sure you have something to say as well. But in terms of the film, you know, the nice thing about film is that it's just another medium where people who might not be able to get to Gloucester can understand what happened and the people who are behind it. I don't think it should replace the idea of going and seeing the mural for yourself. But the event that's going to happen next Thursday, the idea is that we'll all be together. We'll talk a little bit more about kind of how Studio Fresh got involved. And I'm going to pepper questions at Sal and Ann as to, you know, where the idea really came from. Kind of a little bit behind the scenes of how the film was made, in terms of some of the same questions that I asked them during the interviews. But then I think the hope is that we get to hear from some people who might not have had the opportunity to tell their story in the film during that question and answer. Also hear from Cape Ann Museum, who are of course very local and were a great resource for us as filmmakers, a great resource, but also for you guys, Studio Fresh. When we were with you, you were telling us about the images that they were sending you, and you guys going back and forth with them. But you know, the premise of the film is very simple. We just wanted to capture the efforts that were being being put into this project from Awesome Gloucester and from Studio Fresh, and that really is the basis of what the five and a half minute film is about. It's really to try and drive traffic to get people to come and see the mural for themselves.
Can we speak to the content, what it's about, though? Like, I understand this is a film about a mural being put up. Can we speak about what is going to be, like, what the mural is?
Yeah, it's a lot of, it's women packing and cutting fish. It's a fish cutter and it's a lumper, but it's all to pay tribute to the people that work on shore on fish. Like Joey and all the people that are still keeping it alive and all the people in the past and how hard the woman worked way back in the day. This was not easy work up very early. And there was still, you know, we had a huge amounts, thousands and thousands of pounds of fish, and they would have to cut it and pack it. And, you know, we didn't have all the conveniences of today. So they had to process that fish and get it off the floor. And they were working many, many hours. And then they still had their families to take care of. And their husbands were out fishing.
When you say back in the day, what time frame does this represent from start to where the film brings to the mural? When do you actually start the timepiece?
60s and 70s?
Yeah.
When was that picture taken?
There's an image of 40s, women processing fish, yes, of 1940s. Yeah.
Thank you.
But it's really to pay tribute for the whole time frame, and including today. There's still plenty of women and plenty of other people working on fish today. Yeah, it's not all about past, it's current also.
But I'm just curious as to where it started and where you brought us to within the mural.
Yeah,
I would say, I mean, the origins of the spark for the project goes back about 10 years. We were doing oral history interviews with people who lived down the floor. And we were doing an interview, and the woman stopped the interview. We were still filming, and she said, you know, I just want to say something that's really important to me. We give a lot of love and respect to fishermen, and of course we should. We give a lot of love and respect to fishermen's families and wives, and of course we should. But the women who worked in this industry, who actually work in the industry, generally don't get enough credit. They're not really spotlighted by the community. And I had never really thought about it that way. My mom was a fish packer, and it was like something I took for granted. So when we started kicking ideas around amongst Austin Gloucester about we want to do something, not just fund something, we have ideas too. We started kicking the idea of a mural around, and we landed on this idea of creating something that would respect and honor women in the industry, but also, you know, everybody who works on, like Anne was saying, who works on fish on land.
There were lines at Empire and Ocean Crest. There was North Atlantic. There were lines of packing lines. The fish would be offloaded, dumped out, weighed, tallied onto conveyor belts into big pens. From the pens, they would go up to the cutting tables where they would cut the heads off or what they needed to do. In my case, we packed a ton of whiting here. So there was a ton, they would process between 20 and 30,000 pounds of whiting here. And then it went from the cutting room into the scale, big, huge things that would descale the whiting, then onto another conveyor where the women on either sides, and they were packing the fish into the boxes. We sold a lot of fish to A&P fish market, supermarkets around the country. And then it would go down. There was a couple women that they would weigh them into 1 pound or 5 pound boxes. And they'd go down another conveyor, a wrapping machine would wrap them. Wow. And then it would go into pans, sheet pans, where they would stack them up and bring them to the blast freezers. The blast freezer, that's the final kind of destination for Gloucester, and then they would get, you know, shipped off around it. But the freezing, bird's eye, and the whole process of freezing fish, started this whole thing.
Yes, all the labor that you're describing at every step of the way, that's what the mural is intended to honor.
Right, that's what I was trying to get. Just kind of talk about making the thing. I know it's wonderful you made a film about making this, but the lifeblood of this film is the women that are in it.
One quick question about the mural itself. Is it depicted in black and white or just color or both?
It's color. I let the artist.
It's a monochromatic image. So it's all kind of almost a sepia tone. we thought it'd be a good way to kind of keep it simple and able to portray all the contrast and imagery properly. So
it's beautiful.
I can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
Is your grandfather Carlo Shimotaro?
No, Carlo was my grandfather's brother.
Okay.
Captain Carlo.
Yeah. So my father and Carlo Shimotaro were business partners, and they had Morningstar Fisheries, where the Coast Guard station is now. Yeah. And the city of Gloucester took it by eminent domain to put the Coast Guard station there. And at that point, Carlo went and started Star Fisheries. Yeah. He kept the Star from the, he dropped Morning and just kept Star. Yeah. And my father went over and bought Progressive Fish Company from his father-in-law.
And my grandfather came over here.
Yeah.
We bought up here from Gorton's. Gorton's Pew. They had 13 piers.
Yeah.
Wow. And they kind of parceled them off. And my grandfather got.
So our families go way back together.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of families that are, you know, still going to this day. You know, obviously it's a tiny fraction of what it was back when things were rocking. But
my grandfather was a lumper. He was in the number one lumper. So I mean, I'm curious to see this. I want to see the winner.
I can only imagine how great on the mural.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
You should drive down and check it out. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's three images on the mural: women processing fish. There's a lumper and then the fish cutter. The fish cutter image, I think you should speak to it. It comes from Ann's family. The lumper image comes from this the public archive down the fort. Somebody contributed to there. And the women's issue image comes from Cape Ann Museum. It was actually, I think it was identified by Griffin Francis, a high school kid who did a little research for us.
Oh, yeah. One of our number one fans that is always one of the first people that chimes in, Brenda Grimes Davis. Mm-hmm. Is Brenda still on?
She is.
Okay, ask Brenda to reply how many of her family members worked at this dock, and she can name them. Because it was
at
Captain Joe's Pack and Whiting. They came down, like my grandmother worked here with her sisters.
Wow.
And it was this family. They came down early in the morning. They would start, I think, at 7. They would unload the boats before that, so they'd have fish to work on. Then around 7 o'clock, when they started. Around 10, they would have mug up, and then they usually finished up, I think, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
What's mug up?
Mug up is having a little coffee break mid morning coffee break.
Lost your term.
So has Brenda, oh, there's a little delay. So Brenda may not have replied.
Me, my mother, and my sister-in-law, Brenda said.
Yeah. There was a lot of families came down. And how old was Brenda when she worked here?
She might not want to respond to that. we'll see.
No, it's interesting. There was a lot of women that were not. There was older women, but there was also a lot of younger women.
Really?
Like, they were supporting families. They were helping to support families. And
they mean like teenagers?
Yeah, there were. There were like, you know, older teenagers and stuff like that. And just, you know.
It was good money. Very difficult.
They all say that. They all, like all the women that I run into that used to work down, because I was just 9 years old when running around here with my cousin, Frankie. And they all, when I see them on the streets, the people that used to work here, a lot of them are still alive. They'd say how the reason, it wasn't like glamorous work, but it was well, they got paid well.
Yeah, I'm sure it stinks.
Brenda Grimes Davis estimates she was probably 20. And your mom mentions that Aunt Vincy Militello packed too.
Yeah, Auntie Vincy, Vincy. And the women, the older Italian women would bring cookies down and they would share it. It was like a family.
They'd cook some fish and cook the calamari. That's where the calamari started.
And they take like the whiting roe, the whiting spawn, and Bob's Clam Shack was right next door. So they would collect, some of the girls would collect the whiting spawn in the summer, and they'd go up there and they'd fry the whiting spawn. Oh my God, it was out of this world.
That sounds insane.
Brenda says she was paid $7.50 per hour for cutting. It was fantastic money for the day.
Oh, wow.
So my uncle Mike Linquater worked for his father, Leo Linquater, down at Progressive Fish Company, and all the bycatch from the whiting was squid, and there was no market for it, so he would get it and clean it, and he'd cook it, and he'd fry it like clams, and they put it on the table for the fish cutters and packers, and it would disappear as fast as he could put it up there.
Cool.
Years later, flash forward, he buys the Gloucester House restaurant. He's at the Gloucester House, and they ran out of clams. So he went and got some squid and told the cook, cook it up like the clams, and they did, and that's how calamari was invented right here in Gloucester.
Oh,
look at that. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
That's a piece of Gloucester.
That's, yeah.
Rhode Island might just be there.
I got the whole story about that.
That's great. I love that.
I see the guys are writing down quick. They're trying to catch up everything. Really, guys.
I know you have the link to Studio Fresh in there, I'm sure, by now, but while you've been talking, I'm just looking at their work, but that Sabrasso Taqueria, those guys are still on. I've seen that mural. That's amazing. And they did the Ace Ticket.
Yeah,
and, their website has a lot of...
the website has a lot of the work on it?
Yeah, but these are gorgeous. I can't wait. Our local...
I think the next mural should be here on this building.
A GFG mural?
This place needs a little... like
they may have standards, you know.
Work is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Check out the website. I'll put it up again.
Right now we have. I wanted to do the top gun. Can I switch over with you? You guys have anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to say thanks. I really appreciate being invited on and being a part of the project. It's been a pleasure, and we're excited for the premiere of the film.
We're looking forward to seeing it. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks, everyone.
Been great.
You can take
you.
Them off.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
And thank you, too.
That was great.
That was really good.
That's why you saved the best for almost last.
Yeah.
So I have Ray here.
So they weren't the best?
They were the best. No, they were the best.
You could do a whole hour on just this stuff.
Yeah,
so
you could easily do an hour. I got my, so this is 5 years in. You stop. Oh, the knife
slips.
You're worried about the knife.
Slips.
I'm going to circumcise you over there. We're going to do an unboxing. This is the 2021 calendar. This is the proof.
I'm very excited. I wondered if you were going to do one this year.
Yep, yes.
You know what? Everybody, people love them. So here we go. This is.
I love mine.
Oh wow, that's really nice. All right, so this is 2021, the new calendar.
Nice and light. The other one, last one, was a little on the darker side.
A little darker side, yeah. So I'm going to open this up, and we will. My eyes are so bad. Okay, so we're gonna show here.
Oh, that opens up just like the LSD CD.
Lift it up a little.
I'm gonna put them on. That's the cover. Oh, thanks, Jim. There's good. Here is January.
Oh, that's nice.
That's going through the golf course right there, towards the back shore. Mm-hmm. All right. That is one of my favorite images. That's a super fun. I got to work, I get to work at 4. That's like 4:05 a.m. and the fog was really thick. And the two boat, the captains, you can see the silhouettes of the captains talking to each other from the boat right there. That's the Allison Carroll and the Trapper John, Pete Mondello and Chris Arcillo. This one right here, you gotta get close. I love, this is another one I really like. This is Waiting for Boats in the Afternoon, looking down the harbor towards the paint factory. This is another one early in the morning, looking down at the boats in the slip.
Back it up and chip it so that the light, there you go, that's better.
He's doing a good job.
Yes, executive producer.
Jimmy, how many drinks did you have last night? You're
getting a little shaky. That's good. This is, this right here is the view of the State Fish Pier and the harbor is in the background. I mean, the city hall is in the background, Gloucester City Hall.
Oh, that's much better.
Mm. All right, that's good.
It's actually in focus. It's May and it's in focus.
This one right here is.
I like that one. A
couple of my favorite lobster.
I think that.
Mark Ring and Matt Ring.
I think I commented on that. It's waiting for that print.
Yeah, that one, I love that shot. And that's off of Manchester Harbor. Chris, you were on the boat with me when we took the ride to go get breakfast in. And Manchester.
So I get royalties.
You get royalties, absolutely.
I almost joined you on that trip. I could have saw the whole thing unfold.
This is a low tide at the dock here.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. There's another shot looking out.
Always one of my, yeah.
Yeah, this is a beauty. A lot of my shots are either early in the morning or late afternoon waiting for boats.
The light.
So in all of my shows and my things, I always try to have one kind of like grab you by the balls kind of photo. This is a redfish head. I just love
that's
the grittiness.
That's on the wall at Cape Ann Coffee. I don't know how much they appreciate having that on the wall there, but it is pretty.
I think so.
It's kind of pretty.
I like the colors. That's a gritty one. And here's another silhouette. Another, you know, if you come down to the, anytime you're on the water, you know, or any place in Gloucester, the reason we had so many famous painters that loved it here was because of the light. And anytime you go, you can take that down now, Jim.
I'm just showing everybody when your birthday is next year.
Okay.
But anytime you
every day.
Every time, there's different, the same scene can be looked 100 different ways on any given day.
I have to agree with that. If you've ever been on Warren Law's Facebook page and you see his sunrises every morning.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's from the same view, but it's different every day.
Every day.
So I
take the same photograph every single morning, and it's totally different.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
The colors of the sky.
Yours is really nice.
Oh, we're almost done here, so we have to pick. Do you know what's the count on shares?
We are up to 11.
11 shares.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People have a good chance. Did you guys share? Did you get a chance to win?
You may already be a
winner.
I shared it on the Awesome Gloucester page. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Did you invite shares?
All
right, we're gonna put you
on the page.
All right, if you shared it, that's good. We're gonna do the so Pat, we're gonna wait for Sal to share it, and once he shares it, we'll have our number, and then I'll enter it into our random generalizer.
Random
I can't
generalizer.
Get that. Not 1 week have I got it right. Random number generator. Thank you. All right.
Paul is wondering if we can order them yet. Your calendars.
Well, I didn't have my glasses on when I was looking at the proof. If
just the proof. So you're still.
Those are the proof. They're gonna be in, I think, by either Friday or Monday, and I'll put a link probably on Wednesday.
Okay, good.
Are they available digitally also, or is
no.
it just the? By, oh, awesome. Good.
No.
Yep.
But you can buy most of those images are in my show at Cape Ann Coffees.
Mm-hmm.
The framed beautiful prints. Cape Ann G. Clay did that.
Hey, Joey, if you want, I can add a prize of some Neptune's Harvest fish and seaweed fertilizer and then just come to pick
that's
it up
right.
at our place.
That's
wanna
where I know you
pick
from.
One more winner.
All right, we got four prizes.
Wow.
All right. Wait, I'm going to leave this up to you. Should we? Because
you want to wait.
You want to wait and make it special next week, or do you want to do it this week?
Whatever you want to do.
I want to wait because I want to make it special because we didn't announce it in the beginning. So
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I think next week's
all
a good
right.
idea.
Right.
That's a good idea.
I appreciate that. That's an awesome gift.
We'll pitch the fertilizer too.
Yeah.
All right.
Then we have a good chance
so
to
we're
do,
now,
a, do
yeah.
a whole post about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Right. And now we're up to 13 with these guys. So.
Okay. 1 to 13. I'm gonna do the this rate. This one doesn't count because I always gives me
yeah.
the weird.
Are you shaking?
Mm-hmm.
You can't show, what are you hiding there, Joe? You got full transparency.
No, I hold it up there when I do it. This
yeah.
isn't because
it's the first one always.
First
goes
one
wrong.
Always goes wrong. So this doesn't.
No, count. Don't pick that one, Joe.
Stop. Okay. All right. We're gonna go right here.
Prizes this
for? This? Oh, no.
Okay.
So we're going to explain. So we're going to explain that. This is how it works. The first person name that gets picked, they have the first option on any of the three prizes. But if they don't write in which prize they want, and the person that gets picked second writes before them,
so
the second
write
person
on the page.
You have to write. You have to respond. Yeah, right.
Oh, so I have to be on to do.
You should be on.
Okay, all right, let's do it.
You should be on.
You
if
can't
you want.
Find these pickles anymore either.
All right, here we go. We're gonna do that. So if you win, make sure you write which prize you want and who. Here we go for the first for number one. Number eight.
Yes.
Carol Mondello.
Carol Mondello finally won.
Yes, she did.
And
that's awesome.
All right, Carol.
Good job, Carol.
Get to writing, Carol.
Carol, you have 5 minutes to get down here and pick it up.
No, no, no. She can say
which one she wants.
And if the all right, number two, number four.
Four is Paula Ryan O'Brien.
Paula Ryan O'Brien. Okay, so Paula Ryan's probably. I'll be surprised if she doesn't. she wants. And number three is number three.
Number three is Mary Shula.
Mary Shula. All right.
Yeah,
so look for that.
Right. Thank you. It's only she been finally got about. Mike Berlino wants us to run down the prizes again.
Okay. The prizes are a $10 gift certificate and water bottle. Safatia donated this to Dunkin' Donuts.
Carol says she'd like the towel.
The towel.
Oh, so Carol's the first one
good
to
reply. Yeah, Paula, sorry. You are just.
That's too late on the draw.
Behind
on the draw.
Carol. Make yeah. another pick
and,
on the Dunkin' Donuts
and
the dip shit.
from where?
From Big Cock Ranch.
So.
Pauline Bresnahan donated.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
So, Paula, you need to pick.
Yeah, sure.
So who was the third winner?
Shula.
Shula. She might not be with us. But so you all have 1 week to pick up your gifts. If you
water bottle, Paula says.
If you don't get your gift, then it goes back into the prize pack.
Then I get it.
That's how it's going to
work. And Mary gets the dipshit.
All right, Jimmy, it's your turn to get in front of the camera. Okay. You know what time it is.
Yes, sir.
I thought you were gonna move it.
Everything all right, Jimmy? Jimmy.
Ladies and gentlemen, absolutely no piping plovers were harmed in the making of today's podcast. Thank you.
You got some food in your
and there's another mustache. Show in the can.